On the whole, there's a huge bias in the court. And as far as the judge is concerned, they, because they have no direct experience of the case, rely totally on the court welfare officers, CAFCAS, for instance, and social work and probation reports. And they will agree largely with the findings. And the result is they're very, very heavily biased against fathers and in favour of mothers. And until we have a system whereby we these cases don't come to court until they've been properly mediated, we're going to go on, this bias will just continue, because the courts are clogged with these kinds of cases. Nobody's interested in them. Nobody cares about the income. It's far, far easier to simply hand the children over to the mother and let her do what she wants, which is what women do now.
Women have total control. You couldn't have that level of complete control in any other area of life where you share responsibility for something. You can't walk off with a business, or a house, or a car, or even a toaster if it's joint-owned. But with a child, that's exactly what a woman can do.
Would you say that it's an easy thing for a man to be stripped of his children by a wife or partner? Oh, or is it still a difficult thing to actually
happen? No, it's easy. It's frighteningly easy. Because the courts, quite simply, at this stage, will not do anything to enforce a court judgment. There's a court order that dad can see the kids every fortnight, and mum just says no, and puts up lots of reasons. I mean, she can put up a whole list of reasons at the start. She can accuse him of molesting the children. She can accuse him of domestic violence. She can accuse him of a whole list of stupid things that CAFCAS officers will be quite happily put in a report. Like, he, when he brought them home, the kids were tired and he hadn't used the right toothpaste. You know, you get things like that. I've read them in reports. If the mother commits perjury while it's going through the courts, that's okay. No comeback. And then after he's finally got his contact order, after not seeing those kids for a year or 2 years, even 3 years sometimes, that he gets his contact order, and then if she doesn't let him see the kids again, you then say, well, you can't transfer residence, you can't send her to jail, and you can't fine her, and you can't make her do community work. So I said, so what are you going to put up?
The judge makes an order for contact, the mother disobeys. What can the judge do? He can fine the mother or send her to prison. Now, typically, she's got no money, so the fine isn't a possibility. So to send her to prison, what does that do for the children?
There's a woman obstructing contact, and they think contact should go ahead. Should they be forced to the situation where they put her in prison? The last resort of the court is that they put her in prison. Putting a mother in prison is not in a child's best interests. Now, that's where the courts are stuck. They can only do what's in the best interests of the child. Putting the primary carer in prison is not in the child's best interests.
Man or woman in court with a silly little thing on their head is actually going to do nothing about it. And he will uphold mother's decision on whatever she decides to do. He'll tell her off for being a naughty mum, but won't do anything about it. No, she could take him to the cleaners.
I had one mother who said to me, tell him, give me the money and he can have contact.
I mean, you're in front of this woman who's saying, he can see the kids if he gives me money.
Mm.
I mean, do you not just go, you fucking bitch?
Judges go out of their way to avoid custodial sentences for mothers, but have no hesitation in sending fathers to prison. Indeed, it can even be beneficial for fathers to get jail time. Yet when a mother cheats on taxes, off she goes to jail.
Then whoever's been doing that perjury, there's got to be a comeback on that person. And the first comeback will be, well, immediately the other parent gets automatic custody of the child. Because that person, if they're prepared to tell lies that's upset their kids for a year while they've not been seeing dad or mum, then that person is not a fit parent because they've told all those lies.
Women litigants are becoming, or have become, adept at manipulating the system, and the system is capable of being manipulated. And if someone is implacably hostile and simply won't give contact and brainwashes the child against the father, then there's very little one can do.
So what we're saying now is that, yeah, legal presumption, so that you don't give the mother the divine right to just take the house, the kids, the car, half your pension, and then when you get round to wanting to see the kids, she says no to that as well. That's outrageous. That's got to be stopped.
Still now, the social services don't see it my way. They talk, about me having mediation, but I've tried all that and it gets me nowhere. And the ex just walks, she agrees to what they say. The next minute she's out there, she's doing exactly the opposite. Yet I'm the one who's following everything by the book. She kept on saying my daughter was scared of me, didn't want to go. So my daughter kept on saying to me, I don't want to go with you, Daddy. And I'll give a basic example of a five-year-old girl last Christmas saying to her dad, Daddy, you can give my Christmas presents away. I don't want them. I mean, what five-year-old says that? They don't say that. They've been told to say that.
There was difficulty seeing my youngest child. You know, that I would get, well, you can't see your son today, and she would push him back inside and shut the door and that sort of thing. And I didn't actually see him for about 18 months.
Now the mantra is, you know, if you put the mother in jail, how is that in the interests of the child? Well, it's in the interests of the child that when she gets out, she won't do it again. But the best this government can come up with, and this really does show the lack of intellectual rigour, the lack of imagination behind this, is that if a mother prevents contact, she might be made to pay the dad's expenses if he's booked a holiday. He doesn't want a fucking holiday. He wants to hold his child. 4 out of 10 mothers, that's 40%, admit to having obstructed contact between children and their fathers. And the family law system does nothing.
But the government doesn't want to punish mothers when they remove fathers from their children. Its interests aren't served by doing so. This is not about the best interest of the child, because as we've seen, government has no problem sending a mother to jail for fiddling taxes. There is no lack of intellectual rigour in the government for this situation. It's a deliberate plan of action to create the circumstances in which fathers can be easily separated from their children. Government has become adept at using the petulance, selfishness, and vindictiveness of women to achieve their ambitions for society. This behaviour by government is very far from stupid and very close to sinister.
I suspect that if the law were as tilted towards men as it is now to women, we would behave in the same way.
I disagree. Men would not behave in the same way as women. The fact that the law is the way it is proof of that.
Men have had ample opportunity in history to bias laws in their favour, yet they've clearly not done so. In fact, men have done the exact opposite and biased laws in women's favour. And this is supposedly a male-dominated society.
The mentality of men is bound up in fairness. The innate nobility of men simply doesn't allow for the despicable behaviour so commonly displayed by women.
For all what she's done, she's still my kid's mother. She loves my children. She just cannot see what she's doing sometimes. And although I feel like they're going to get me down sometimes, I will not let any of them get me down, and I will fight to see my children, and I will fight until I've got the children living with me. And the funny thing about it is that once I've got my children living with me, I've already got it into my head that I am not going to do to my ex-partner what she done to me. She will get proper access. She will get decent access. Her parents will get decent access to see their grandchildren. I will not do to them what they done to me.
Why not?
Two wrongs don't make a right, and just to show to them that I'm a better person than them, that I don't hold no grudges, I'm not malicious. And if I see it fit, she could take the children back. And it seems like I'm saying that and I don't want them, but I'm being realistic and practical. I love my mum dearly. I'm close to my mum. I know how close kids are to their mums. I just feel at the moment she's not suitable for them. 2 years' time after she's thought to herself, my God, I've lost my children. I'm a woman, I've lost my children. I've got to wake up from this. Hopefully she will do that. Like I said before, she's the mother of my children.
We've seen in some of the other films in this series that although black sprinters dominate the Olympic 100 metres event, this domination does not mean that white sprinters are therefore oppressed. All athletes that want to run 100 metres start at the same place, at the same time, and run the same distance, and they all have the same training opportunities. We could take the view, as we do with the 100 metres, that the law is fair and that the opportunity for both sexes to achieve custody is there. It's just that the women are best suited to it. We could say that the fact that fathers don't achieve custody 90% of the time, and often don't even get reasonable visitation rights, is the correct outcome based on fair judgments, and doesn't indicate bias against men, just as the 8 black men lining up for the 2008 Olympic final doesn't indicate bias against white athletes. But this doesn't hold water, because we're not comparing like with like. If white sprinters were threatened with never being able to compete again if they dared to try out for sprinting, if they were told that they were not wanted on running tracks, if they were arrested if they tried to go training, if they were told they couldn't go within 100 yards of a running track because of a court order, if white sprinters were told that they would have to hire a solicitor and fight in court for 3 years for the right to even put on running shoes, if they were only allowed to train once every 2 weeks for 1 hour and for 2 weeks in the summer. If all this were true, then we could say that white sprinters were treated the same as fathers in the family courts, and that the 100 metres unfairly discriminates against white athletes. However, if those things aren't true, we have to call it the way it is. The family courts unfairly discriminate against men, and this discrimination is based on male hatred.
The family courts, in their current form, represent one of the most evil and most destructive institutions in history.